Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
Welcome everybody. We'll finish today the final chapter in Yeshayahu. And we'll go back to verse 12 in the final prophecy that he mentions referring to the end of time. And we've talked about how Yeshayahu goes back and forth with, he gives rebuke, and at the same time, he shows that how Hashem loves us. And we know when somebody loves you, you can take the rebuke. We knew sometimes, that's true. And so therefore his goal was to show the Jewish people where we had sinned and where we made a mistake. One of the lessons that they had, how that people were superficial. They would sin and they would bring an offering figuring, okay, this will keep Hashem happy. But they didn't realize that that's not how you keep, an offering isn't just to keep Hashem happy. You have to be a good person. You have to be humble and you have to be giving and you have to care about other people. That's how you keep Hashem happy. And then
you have to work at it.
That's right. You can't just pay some dues and be everything
right.
is good. So that was kind of the message that he gave. We mentioned that this is the Rosh Chodesh Haftorah, which is interesting. Like you have to work hard to see how this fits in with Rosh Chodesh. One of the ideas was that Rosh Chodesh is the idea that the moon represents Hashem. All this, meaning that we look up in the sky and we represent to us that there's a higher being, there's a creator to the world. And the moon gets smaller and smaller and it disappears. And it reappears again. And even though it disappears, we know it didn't disappear, we just don't see it. And Hashem in certain ways are like that, that there are certain times that we don't see Hashem, that we don't see Him, but then we know He's there and He comes back in full glory. And so to some extent Rosh Chodesh is this renewal, this re-seeing of Hashem. And so the chapter begins by declaring how Hashem's presence is here in the world, that it's true He's in the heavens, He's in a lofty place, but the world is His footstool, that His feet, so to speak, are down here, or the basically a person can lift himself up from this world to the heavens. So let's go again from verse 12. Ki kol amar Hashem, hinei notei lecha na'ar shalom. I'll try to be a little louder because I'm competing with the class given by the vacuum or the early. It's really interesting because we always joke in our family that it always rains Parshas Noach.
Oh, really?
Because Noach, the flood started with the rain.
Yes.
So somehow, every year during that week, there'll be one time when you feel the rain coming down, you're saying, okay, I hope it's not a flood, it's a reminder. So today was a day like that. But there's different kinds of rain. And here he says, and different kinds of water. Water can be very strong and violent. And he says, Hashem will appear to us, kenar shalom, like a river of peace. A lot of the vacation places are on the seafront, or on people take cruises to be on the water because they find it very calming. You can buy alarm clocks that have the water sound because it just puts you to sleep. So Hashem says, I'm going to be that peaceful water. We've had some rough riding, but now things are going to be nice and peaceful, like the streams and the waters and the kenar shalom, kenacho shatav kavod goyim. Now, we've had difficulties with the nation. The nations of the world have tried to come against us, and they've made holocausts and pogroms, and they destroyed our land. And at the end of time, the nations will want to honor us. They knock them outside, and they will want to give to us, and they will want to nurse from us. They will want to learn about Hashem. They will bring us back like on their knees. They'll carry us in. And a person will be comforted like their mother. I thought a little bit about this. I remember many times, this is a father's prejudice, where a child would be upset and I would try to calm them down and they say, no, I want mommy. That's a child is comforted like their mother. A mother only, sometimes only a mother can make it good. They're just, fathers are nice, you know, but sometimes they want their mommy. That's the way it is. So Hashem says that I'm going to comfort you like your mother. In other words, it's going to be, you're going to be comforted, not just nice words, it'll be a real comfort, the way a child is comforted by their mother. That's how I will comfort you, and Yerushalayim will also be comforted. Meaning that people are upset, and they feel there are wrongs, and they feel there are things that need to be addressed. Hashem is saying everything will work out at the end of time. Ure'isem, and you will see it. V'sos libchem, and you'll be happy in your heart. V'atmoseichem, and in your bones. You know, it'll be an inner joy. And he says your bones will bloom like the grass. And in other words, you'll grow and you'll be it's an interesting word. You don't really think of bones blooming like grass.
Well,
exactly.
It says here like young grass, which is fresh and full of sap.
Oh, okay, not brittle. That's right. We all take the calcium and try to bones will be like that's interesting. Whose commentary does he take from?
Kimsey.
Oh, okay. The note, and it's interesting because he said it before they knew about, you know, calcium and other, but I guess people get brittle bones. They get brittle bones. They have fresh bones. The note of Yad Hashem is Avadav, and people will know that the Zohar is Avadav. Now, at the same time, there's always two groups of people. There are those that want to be holy, that want to be, want to serve Hashem, and then there are those that are evil and wicked and that go against it. And those that want to serve Hashem, they will find him. And those that want to go against him, they will fear his anger. And there'll be at this end of time this war in the land of Israel, where the nations will come to attack us. And we see that, you know, in other words, we live in a miraculous time where we finally got our land back, and Hashem is showing amazing kindness to our people. You know, Israel has all these high tech, you know, there's a lot of wealth now. In Eretz Israel, and Jews are coming back from all over the world, and at the same time we have more enemies than we've ever had. You know, they're still there, you know, Hezbollah and Hamas, and they want to they'll still be enemies. Kinei Hashem ke'esh yavo u'kesufa markosav, and Hashem will come in like a fire. It'll be like a lahashi b'chema apo, and he'll come in an angry fire. Today we have, when a nuclear bomb is like a fire, it incinerates everything in its path. It's described like this, you know, this fiery fury that'll come down. The garoso belave esh. 16. Ki be'esh Hashem nishbat, because Hashem will judge people with fire. That's there is an idea that when people go to HELL, they burn there. It's a judgment in fire. It's not a pleasant place to be. Ubecharbo, with the sword. As kol basar, and all the flesh will be judged. Barabu kol Hashem, and Hashem, many people are not going to make it. In other words, in the future, not everybody will be eligible to enjoy the pleasures. Hamiskachim mataran elagagos achad betavet. There'll be people that make themselves holy and purify themselves. And then there'll be people that they eat pork and they eat disgusting things and rodents. They will perish, says Hashem. Over here, actually, when it says they make themselves holy, it means something different here. It means they make themselves holy to idols and they go up to the rooftops. People didn't. They used to worship the idols. They'd worship the stars and they would do it. Sometimes they would do it in secret, or sometimes they would worship the idols. But basically, people that dedicate themselves to worshiping the stars and the sky, and then those that eat swarmy things and disgusting things, they will no longer be here. He's referring to Jews that do that. In other words, Jews that worship other religions, or Jews that not only do they, it's one thing, you know, sometimes the kashrus laws are difficult, but to eat disgusting things, like, you know, like how. He, like, you know, the people that eat like the rodents and the scorpions and the snails and like things that people just have no appetite for. 18. And Hashem says that he's going to gather all the peoples and all the nations, and they will see my honor. 19. And there'll be signs, there'll be miracles. And Hashem will send out messengers to the different nations. There'll be ambassadors, so to speak, will go out to the nations of the world. And some of these nations are far out. Pul and Lud, Moshe Keshet. There are different people who have different kinds of weapons. The Yavan, Iyam, Arachokim, far off islands. They don't know about it. They maybe never heard of Hashem. No one ever. The places in Asia, places in Africa. Asher lo shamu Hashemi. They never heard. Below Rose Kvodi, they never saw Hashem's honor. Begidu es Kvodi Bagoyim. And these ambassadors will teach the nations about Hashem. Now, when these nations hear about Hashem, they're going to want to come to Israel. And they're going to want to bring a gift. So, what are they going to bring? Verse 20. Beviu es kol acheichem. They are going to bring, they're going to seek out amongst them to see the Jews that have scattered. And it's interesting, some people claim that you can find a Jewish person anywhere. Like people that have been to the most far off, obscure places, and sure enough, you run into somebody, and he's got a cousin in the Bronx or whatever, or he's, you know, somebody tells a story that they were in the Vatican, and the guy selling the trinkets was a Jewish guy, you know, of course, who else would be selling trinkets, you know, you never know, and you go places that, so there are our brothers that, really the 10 tribes were scattered, and we don't know where they are. They exist amongst other peoples. There are Jews that are scattered, you can find, and when the Mashiach comes, these nations will bring back the Jews in their country. They'll bring them back. And they'll come with offerings. What's very interesting, there is a Christian movement that does that, that helps pay to bring Jews back to Israel. Very interesting, and they help with a lot of Russian resettlement, and I forgot the name of the group, but they see it as part of this biblical obligation to help Jews come back to the land of Israel.
And they're not preaching any conversion or anything.
No, they believe that once we're back, that
it'll all happen.
But meanwhile, the Jews are always too happy to let them pay for the ships and the airfare and But it says that will be one of the signs. Behavius kol achekim mikol agam. They'll bring your brothers from the nations. Mincha l'Hashem besusim. And he describes here interesting vehicles. There'll be horses, of course, but then there'll be chariots, ubitzavim, fradim, mules. And when they come, the karkaros, we don't know exactly what that is. It's he says it's like pillows or comfortable. There'll be comfortable ways to travel in the future that people will travel. Maybe it means cars.
Covered wagon.
He calls it a covered wagon. Okay. Kirkaris. He says the word car in Hebrew means like a pillow. So kirkar means like a double pillow. You'll have. So when you think about it, a car has one pillow like this and one like that. It's like a double. But it could be a wagon also has that same design. And where are they going to come to my holy mountain, Yerushalayim? Amar Hashem Kashiyav b'nei Yisrael esamimcha b'kli tar. And they will want to do it in a kosher way, in a pure way, Beis Hashem. V'gam mehem echak l'kohanim. And some of these people that will come from these far off places, some of them will become kohanim and levim. And again, we're seeing that they have yeshivas in Israel that specialize in people without background that never studied before. Mm-hmm. And they have people from everywhere, from all countries. Some of them are converts, and some of them are Jewish, and they just found out they were Jewish. And there are people that find out in our times. Many people find out that they're of Jewish, ancestry, and they didn't know that. And some of these people will come, and they will be Kohanim and Levim. They'll be more dedicated than the people that were born Jewish. And we see that. He describes that here. Verse 22, Ki kasher shemayim achadashim va'aretz achadasha. Now, just like the heavens, there'll be a new existence. There'll be a new heavens and a new earth. Asher ani yose omdim lefanan. Now, newness, a part of Rosh Chodesh is a new month. Just like there's a new month, there's a new moon. Now, we know it's not a new moon, it's just now we see the moon. We didn't see it, for it disappeared for a while. It comes back in full glory. This idea of newness is something that we focus on, that we want to be, we try not to get stale. One of the services in the Beit HaMikdash was the challah, the bread. Mm-hmm. And the bread was put on a special table, and it was left there till the next Shabbos, And one of the miracles was that it stayed fresh, that when they took it off, it was still steamy. Which, you know, for a week to say steamy, but the idea was that they kept the relationship fresh. One of the dangers in society is that people get stale, they get tired of things. And in order to prevent that from happening, you need to make a newness. You need to restart or rejuvenate. And that's one of the ideas of Rosh Chodesh. I saw this in this week's Parsha. It mentions that the Kohen Gadol, after the Yom Kippur service, it says he takes off his special clothing, which was very valuable. It was the very valuable material in those times. It was hard to get certain material. And they took off this very special clothing. And the verse says, and put it away. Benichasham, leave it there. So Rashi comments, he can't wear it next year. And we find normally we try to recycle if the clothing didn't get dirty. Why not? And there's an idea that you can't wear the same clothing. This year's Yom Kippur can't be the same as last year's Yom Kippur. If you're wearing, just ask any person, they can't wear the same outfit twice. You know, all my teenage daughters will tell you that, you know, and say, it's something about wearing something new. There's something about, it's actually recorded in the Talmud that husbands are supposed to buy new outfits for their wives for the holidays. What's wrong with, what happens if you have a nice wardrobe? But there's something about having something new that a person has to realize that you have to, that the human condition is such that if you don't reinvigorate and you don't do something new, then things get stale. They get old and they're not as wanted, they're not as desirable. And if you look at marketing, they write new and improved. We go to the companies, it's actually the same thing. In other words, they don't necessarily do anything new except the packaging is new. And then they write the old famous formula after they're new and improved. They go back to the classic. But that's because if it's the same old thing, I don't want the same old thing. I need something new and improved. I need a new, that's why they got to do new buildings and new things, because we have to look to make things new. We have to look to do something new in our relationships. And that's an important aspect of the, and that's the Rosh Chodesh factor, that we need to renew. We need to, so Kasher HaShemayim HaKadoshim, it's a new sky, it's a new day. Kein Yamod Zarecha Mashim, so too your children will stand in front of me, and your name will stand in front of me. And it repeats verse 23, and this is the verse that refers to Rosh Chodesh, Midei Chodesh Bechatru, each month there's a new day. This is the one holiday that's fallen most out of disuse, which is Rosh Chodesh. We do acknowledge it, but in ancient times, they really, to them, it was like a full holiday. We read about in King Saul that they had a special banquet for Rosh Chodesh. And some people say we're not worthy of it, and that it was given like women were given that honor to have. So many women choose Rosh Chodesh. The Medrash that says that women were given that holiday, and many women have a custom not to do certain types of manual labor on Rosh Chodesh. That even if they had got to do the laundry or they got to, on Rosh Chodesh, they don't. They have different customs as far as that, as to what to do. And fortunately today, many of us, you know, we say a little prayer, Yavo V'Yavo, but mm-hmm. we just don't really do much. You know, part of it is we don't live in our own land and we're not part of our own country where we're able to develop that Rosh Chodesh flavor. But we can't forget that the concept, which is the idea of newness. The prayer the day before Rosh Chodesh is called Yom Kippur Katan, the small Yom Kippur. And in some places they actually, you know, they blow shofar and they put on tefillin and they have a special ceremony. But we're lucky if we do it once a year. We have a new Rosh Hashanah, we have a new year, so we focus on New Year's, we don't focus on new months. But, you know, in the ideal world it's a new month, and to a smaller extent every day is a new day. If you look at the prayers, when we say each day our soul is alive, it's another day, we're happy, you know, it's a, each day is a new opportunity, and we don't bear grudges. So that's kind of hinted to, and this is that verse, Zaydimei Kodesh Mikodesho, from every month, every new month, Umidei Shabbos B'Shabbato, and every new Shabbos, Yavu Kol Basar, and each, part of the other part of the message is that he speaks to the whole world, not just to the Jewish people. He says all flesh. All flesh really includes everybody. That's not B'nai Bris. That's Kol Basar, all flesh. And people will come to acknowledge in front of me, Amar Hashem. Now, there's one more verse here. This is that when there'll be this war, at the end of time, there'll be people that will try to prevent the Mashiach and the land of Israel. Now, again, you might say, why would anybody do that? Look at all the opposition in the land of Israel today. You know, we're a peaceful people. We're not trying to hurt the Arabs. We're not trying to hurt anybody. And they're trying to kill us. And they want to kill women and children and terrible. What do we do to deserve this? Like, who would imagine? But that's the condition of life. There's always evil. There's always... when the Messianic times, there'll be nations that will come against us, and they'll be destroyed. And a war scene of carnage is an awful place. If you ever read novels about war, they all describe the destruction and the havoc. What we're hearing about is that we don't, Baruch Hashem, there's no big wars that are going on in the United States, but the soldiers that were in wars are all messed up.
Yeah.
Because after having seen that, you can't go back to being a normal person so easily. That's why they just had a shooting in Fort Hood. But it's because they saw the people being blown up, and it's mind-boggling, and it's just hard to deal with to see certain images that are going to be stuck in their minds for the rest of their lives. And so some of them just have, you know, understandably a hard time dealing with it. But what will happen is that where these armies came to try to destroy us, it's very interesting. They used to have this. I notice now, not as much. There were burned out buses that the Israelis left on the road up to Yerushalayim. Mm-hmm. Where what happened was that there was a siege, and they were trying to starve us out of Yerushalayim. And so volunteers went on buses to bring food to the Jews that were sieged. And the Arabs attacked these buses, and unfortunately, many of them were killed. And they left these buses because the children and the future generations may not realize how hard it was and what people sacrificed to be in Eretz Israel and to do for their brothers that were there to try to help the siege. But I remember seeing them more 20 years ago, and now I guess they rust but they had left like the bombed out, you know, some of the buses and the tanks and the things that were, I imagine some are still there. I don't know. I think time they just, how close they were and the things that came against us with. That's also a parsha lesson, by the way, with the parsha Achrimos, where after Aaron died, after Aaron's children died, so they warned the other Kohanim, look what happened if, you know, so don't come into the temple without, you know, drinking and the right. So there's nothing like actually seeing. You know, if you see a visual, you see the bombs, you see, it's very moving. So there'll be a big visual for us in the future time. Because those armies that came to destroy us, they will have been destroyed by these fires and heavenly things, and they'll be the carcasses or the remnants of that army and in the valley. And so when people go up to thank Hashem, they will see how close they came to being destroyed, because they'll see the tanks and the broken, you know, armored vehicles, and they'll all be there in the valley. And it's described here in this verse 29. The you'll see the sinners that came, and the worms and everything. Lo, somewhat, and it won't go away. Hashem will kind of keep it as a museum that people will see, that they'll be like they'll be burning constantly, like the va'asham lo sichavahi doran the kol buster, and everybody will know. This, the evil people were punished and were destroyed. Now, we never finish the Haftorah on a sad thing. So when they read the Haftorah, they actually repeat verse 23, which is the verse about how all of flesh will come to serve Hashem. But there will be people that won't, and those people are the evil people. But that's what makes it special, when there are people that do serve Hashem and do take the time to do the right things. And so may we all merit to witness the beautiful tidings of the, you know, the prophet Yeshayahu, hopefully in our time, in good health, and may we continue in our studies. Mazel tov, everybody. Beautiful.
For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. Those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it, so that he can continue that site.